Africa does not belong to the world. It belongs to Africans.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. And today's Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast is also brought to you by Draft.com. Use the promo code LOFANTASY to get yourself a free entry into a draft with your first deposit. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at redrock_beeble, or of course you can find my work over at basketballmonster.com, where we're doing DFS projections and season-long projections every single day. Forums, articles, all that sort of stuff goes up on Basketball Monster, so make sure you are checking that out. This is a podcast for Wednesday's DFS action. I am recording it just in all efforts for transparency. It's being recorded before Tuesday's Lakers-Bulls game, getting that out a little bit earlier. It might even be out before the lineups lock if you're doing the two-day contest, which again is a real stretch. I'm not a massive fan of the two-day contests, but it should be out before lineups lock for that, for those Tuesday, Wednesday contests. I've got, my son's got a guitar concert today, so I've got to go and attend that later on in the day. So, that's why the podcast is coming out a little bit earlier. We've got a stack of stuff to talk about because there are 14 games on Wednesday. It is a huge amount of action. So
let's get to it.
14 game slates are in a similar realm to like two game slates in that they are a little bit, they're tougher to get reliability, tough to feel really confident about what you're doing. There's always one random guy who tends to go off, or a couple of them, and it can really throw your lineups out. So when we have 14 game days, when we have two or three game days, they're the days that I normally like to go a little bit lighter when talking about DFS outlay. Your perfect zone is your 5 to 9 game days, where you can go with your full amount, you feel really confident. On 14s, 13s, 2s and 3s, I tend to go a little bit lighter. That's the way that I look at it when we're talking about DFS action. So just remember that. You don't have to follow anything that I say, of course, but that's the way that I like to look at these slates, is when we're going massive on these 14, 15, 13 game slates, is just to ease off just a little bit, because there can be more variance on a day like today, or day like tomorrow, depending on what day you're actually listening to this. So what we're going to do, again, a little bit of a different format today. There's no monstrous line of the night. There's no dud of the night. Although I did forget to play this for Brogo for the dud of the night yesterday, so I'll drop it in now. I tell a man's not hot. Yeah, people enjoy the man's not hot drop, so I'll put that in. For Brogo from yesterday, we're going to talk about all 14 games for Wednesday's action. The first one of those games is the Philadelphia 76ers, and they are taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. Dame Lillard was dealing with that ankle issue. He is right to go, so we've got good news there. Al-Farouq Aminu still remains out for Portland. Of course, Markel Fultz is out for Philadelphia. Let's start by talking about the point guards in this one. Lillard is at $9,000. The Sixers have been relatively decent at restricting the output from point guards, so $9,000 for Lillard is fine, but his highest score in his last five games has just been 47, which is just cracking over the 5x value. So I'm not loving him as a play here, even with the bulky ankle that he says is fine. I think that in 14 game slates, you're going to be able to find better point guards out there than him. Now, on his same team, if you want a guy that is interesting, is Shabazz Napier at $3,800, who's been averaging 23 minutes a game over his last three, dropped 29 points in 27 minutes in the last game, as Mo Harkless and Evan Turner continue to be shithouse, and Napier gets a lot of those minutes. So at $3,800, I think he's got value for tournaments. And I do actually think he's got some cash value to get 19 to 20 points, which is enough and enables you to put, because there's pretty much every stud under the sun is playing on Wednesday, enabling you to get a lot of those guys into the lineups. For the Sixers point guards, TJ McConnell at 47, I'm not really feeling that. With Jared Bayless back, no real interest in using him. Bayless as well at 3,900. Much rather take Napier at 38. For the shooting guard, CJ McCollum at 7,000. I feel like that's a really strong cash play. He's got a good record against Philadelphia. He's going to get, it feels like, 30, 35 almost every night. So I do like him at that price. Well, JJ Redick at 5,300 has been putting up good numbers, averaging 28 over his last five, which at 5,300 is almost exactly where you need it to be. He is a little bit up and down, although his consistency has been better lately. And you could take him in cash, but not the best play on a slate like this. At small forward, Bob Cove's at 6,800. Really loving what Bob Cove's doing. Huge upside. Like him for cash, but really like him for tournaments. Mo Harkless at 36, Evan Turner. Now, you have to pay me $3,600 to put Mo Harkless in my lineup at the moment. At power forward, Benny Simmons is at 10,200. This bloke is averaging 54.5 over the last three games and 48 over his last five. How do you stop him? At this point, it is really tough. It feels like it's a 50 every night for Ben. Totally fine with using him. Really like his setup here. Well, Noah Vonleh had a monster in his last game. 42 points in 31 minutes. He's at 3,500. He's going to start. He's going to get at least 22 minutes, I would assume. And that could go up to 25 to 26. So at 3,500 with his rebounding prowess, could be a double-digit rebound guy. You throw a couple of blocks in there and you can get value. So I do think that Vonleh is worth a squiz. Dario Saric with Bayless back, 5,400. Not feeling that. At center, Joel Embiid, 10,200. Blazers have been quite good at restricting opposition center, so that gives me an element of pause with using Embiid. For tournaments, you can always throw him in there. He's a 70, 80 point upside guy. Well, he had a 90 pointer the other day against the Lakers. I'm just not sure at 10. I'd rather spend my 10-2 at Ben Simmons in cash, whereas Embiid for 10-2, I'd take him in a tournament over Simmons. As for Yusuf Nurkic, he has been disappointing this year, but we've seen numerous centers put up some big numbers apart from Derek Favors against Embiid. He's got a decent record against the Sixers in general. He's at 7,300. I wouldn't feel reliable with using him with cash, but in tournaments, I think that Nurk is definitely a lower-owned option that you can go for. Another player who's been doing a little bit recently is Myers Leonard, but I don't feel super excited about using Myers Leonard, and neither should you. Over on DraftKings, for tournaments, I think Vonleh's at 35 is a good look, and there's a ton of guys that I do like for cash on DraftKings. Embiid's at 97, Simmons is at 95, Nurk at 66 is really good. McCollum at 73, a little bit more expensive, but the three-point bonus sort of sets that off and gives you some value there. Bob Cove's at 6,200, and Shabazz Napier at 3,700, also a good option over on DraftKings. Let's move on to the second game now, which is the Brooklyn Nets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But before we do that, actually, it's time to tell you about today's sponsor, and that is the wonderful people over at Draft. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? And that's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by all the pros, even though there's people who listen to this podcast who are pros. For all you guys who aren't professional DFS players, Draft is another option for you. It's not just me. More than 1 million people have downloaded the Draft app as well. Play in a real-life NBA draft right now and be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. Today is Draft Wednesday on the Locked On Network, so you'll see special Locked On contests over on Draft site, and you can take advantage of playing against other Locked On hosts, Locked On listeners from other podcasts as well. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code, which is LOFANTASY. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LO Fantasy. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Fantasy Basketball listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with promo code LO Fantasy. All right, now we will go back into that next game, which is the Brooklyn Nets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Trevor Booker is questionable in this one. He's only played 9 minutes in the Nets' last game. If he is out, that really opens up things at the center position. Tyler Zeller will come into play there. You'll have some Jarrett Allen who become interesting GPP options. I don't think Tim Mozgov really gets a boost, but it's going to be more Zeller. Quincy Acey also not a horrible option. Not a great one, but not a horrible option. And Jarrett Allen there. Alan Crabb, the blue swimmer, he is playing. He was dealing with some issues with his hand, but he is right to go. At point guard, Spencer Dinwiddie is up to 7,600. The last time he played the Cavs, he almost out-dueled LeBron James in terms of overall numbers. They beat the Cavs. This is a fantastic matchup for any backcourt players. Anyone going into the Cavs this season has put up good numbers, but at 7,600, I reckon that's probably just pushing it a little bit too far for Spencer Dinwiddie. He can get 40 points, no problem. But I think that his floor is too low to expect at 7,600 is a great price for cash. In a tournament, sure, but even then, I'm not. That's just too high. Jose Calderon started the last game for the Cavs and put up 24 points, and he is the bare minimum. He is at $3,000. So in a tournament, why wouldn't you throw him at least into your player pool? Now, if I was constructing a best lineup, Calderon probably wouldn't be in it. But it does give you extra flexibility to throw your Jim Hardens in, to throw your Yannis in, to throw your LeBronalds in, to give you that extra flexibility. And if he gets 24 points at $3,000, that's 8x right there. And that's a huge start in your DFS lineups. On our shooting guard, Kyle Korver's at 3,900. The numbers have been a little bit down, but we know that he can go off and pop off for 17, 18 points in a quarter, so that makes him a tournament-type option. Junior Smythe, J.R. Smith the plumber, 4,300. Yeah, tournament maybe. He's been a little bit struggly, but not really interested there. While Caris LeVert at 4,600 had 30 in the last game, backcourt players against the Cavs. He can rack up steals. He can get assists. If the shot falls, he can score 15 to 16. At 4,600, there's no cash reliability for LeVert. But I do think for GPPs, he does have an element of appeal. And Dwayne Wade at 6,500, hard to judge against the Pistons. He only played 20 minutes and had 22 points, but the game prior to that, he played a lot of minutes over 30. He's got a 50-point game in his last five. 6,500 is definitely too high to use Dwayne Wade in cash, but there is some tournament value there. I'm not totally loving that. At small forward, Jumpin' Joe Harris is at 3,500. The minutes will be there, and he, like Kyle Korver, can get hot and hit some threes, so that makes him a tournament option. If you're looking to shave the $400 off from Korver, maybe taking Jumpin' Joe is worth a look. And, of course, there's LeBron James.
LeBron James.
He is at $12,000. I think that a 55-point game is a realistic expectation for James, which at that sort of salary is decent. And of course, he can drop 60, 65 on your head pretty comfortably. The other small forward we're looking at is the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, who's at 5,600, whose numbers recently have been fairly consistent with a 30-point average over his last three. But I'm not 100% ready to lock him in as a cash lock. He's more a tournament sort of a guy. But again, with the Cavs' deficiencies defensively, I feel okay about Crabb getting to 25 or 26. We know the minutes are there, and he has been putting up some other numbers in strong games against the Warriors and the Jazz recently. He's at 56, so he is worth a look, especially for tournaments. Damari Carroll's at 5,800, has been decently strong as well. I'd probably prefer Carroll to Crabb in terms of cash, but I'd take Crabb in a tournament. As for Trev Booker, 5,400, I think we'll fade that one with the uncertainty. While Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at 7,200, I think he's got a decent level of reliability. We know his minutes are going to be there, and getting 30 points should be considered a decent floor for Rondae. Not sure how high his upside is, but he's a decent play. While Jay Crowder at 43, I just don't feel any confidence in Jay at all. Jeff Green's at 3,700, but I don't care. Well, Quincy Acey, if Trevor Booker is out, Acey at 3,000, absolutely worth a look in a tournament. At center, Kevin Love, $8,000. We know that the Nets front court is not all that ideal, so Love is definitely a strong, strong GPP play. I don't feel totally great about him in cash because of the 8,000, but I do like him in tournaments. And you got Channing Frye and Jarrett Allen, not really a huge amount for me to like with either of those guys. If we flip it over to DraftKings for tournaments, I got Jumpin' Joe Harris at 35 and the blue swimmer Alan Crabb at 46. And then for the cash plays, LeBron at 11.4 is good. Dinwiddie at 63, a much better option on DraftKings. I'd be happy to use him in cash on DraftKings. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is at 6,400. He has some cash value over on DraftKings as well. We've got another 12 games to talk about here. Lots more action to get to. So we'll get to that right now. All right, that next game is the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Hornets. Injury-wise, we're all good. Johnny Wall played in that last one, so he is ready to go once again. He is at 9,600, probably a little bit too expensive. Given the presence of Dwight Howard, can be quite an intimidating factor for other teams. Johnny hasn't been sensational lately with a 32-point average over his last five. You could definitely throw him into a tournament because point guards have done okay against the Hornets. I'm just not really feeling John here. Whereas Kemba Walker at 8,300. We know that Kemba's been putting up great numbers. That price does not get me excited for him, though. But this is a FanDuel slate where the prices are fairly tight. So using Kemba in a tournament is an option. I just don't feel strongly about him for cash. You've got Carter Williams and Tim Frazier as the backups. No interest. Shooting guard Bradley Beal, 7,700. I do really like that. I know that you're going to get at least 30 out of Beal. His lowest score in his last five games has been 31. He's got 50-point upside. That makes him a safe-ish cash play and a decent tournament play as well. So I do like Bradley Beal. While Jeremy Lamb at 5,100, he's been putting up numbers even with Batum back. The last three games with Nick Batum back, he's played just 22 minutes. And one of those he left with a hamstring injury, but averaging 28 points. I just have my doubts that his efficiency and his usage will stick in those limited minutes. So while it looks great from his recent numbers, you know, 5,100, man, that's a bargain. Lamb, Jez is going to get me 26 points pretty comfortably. I'm not so sure about that, and I think his upside is limited because of the minutes. So to me, that makes him a decent fade. Nick Batum's at 7,200, probably too high to use him, while Jody Meeks, nah. At small forward, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. No interest in Kidd-Gilchrist whatsoever. We got Kelly Oubre at 4,000, who dropped 23 in the Wizards' last game. I don't feel confident about using him either. In fact, the small forwards in this game are pretty shitful. At power forward, Marvin Williams at 4,700. Well, he dropped a nice seven-pointer in that last game for the Hornets. I will not be interested in using Marv. Otto Porter at 6,400, a really strong 37-point game before that. But over his last five, he's averaging just 28. I just constantly feel like Porter is too overpriced. Love what Otto Porter does. Love what he means for an NBA team. But at 6,400, I just don't love him for DFS. Markeith at 47, the minutes just aren't high enough. In fact, there's not many great DFS plays in this game. Frank the Tank had a big one in the last one. He's at 3,800. Maybe is a GPP flyer, but I don't love it, especially against a Wizards team that has been quite good at defending big men. Speaking of big men, Marcin Gortat's at 5,200, coming off three strong games in a row, two especially, averaging 33 over his last three games and getting 33 minutes in those. Now, Dwight Howard can become a problem. I would consider Gortat as a GPP guy rather than a cash play, because if he comes in and plays 26 minutes, he could very easily have a 10-point game, and that's the concern. Whereas Dwight Howard at 7,500 killed Karl Anthony Towns, 5,600 for Dwight. I feel good about him getting at least 35 here with clear 40-point upside. So Dwight is my center of choice from this game. Yeah, the Wizards have been quite good at reducing centers, but Dwight, I'm not concerned about his level of production here. I feel pretty good about him as a cash center. As for Cody Zeller at 3,900, no upside, no safe floor, means a no play. Over on DraftKings for this game, GPP, Gortat's still an option at 5,100. And for cash, it's the same sort of situation as on FanDuel. You've got Dwight Howard at 6,700 and Bradles-Beal at 7,800, whereas John Wall's a little bit more appealing at 87. Definitely throw him into a tournament, but not feeling totally good about that. While Kemba at 8,000, again, just feels just a little bit too high for Kemba Walker at this point. Let's go on to the next game. It's Boston and Miami. Bring up my screen here. Joshy Richardson got poked in the eye and left the last game. I think he'll be fine to go. We haven't heard any reports to the contrary, so I think Joshy is going to be fine. That's the only real question mark we've got in terms of injury in this one. At point guard, Tyler Johnson at 4,300. If Joshy Richardson is out, I'm all aboard Tyler Johnson. But even so, I'm not 100% in on him in cash, but I'll be totally in on him as a tournament. The Iron Shoulder, Goran Dragic's numbers have definitely been down, averaging just 26 points across his last five games. He's at 6,300. The Celtics have got one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the NBA. So, yeah, while Dragic's numbers, you feel good about him getting 30, in this matchup, probably going to be a fade for me. Kyrie's killing it. He's only at $8,000. He dropped just the casual 60 against Dallas. I love Kyrie here in this one. It is a good defensive matchup. I mean, the Heat are a good defense against point guards, but I think Kyrie getting 40, it feels like, not a guarantee, but it feels pretty bloody safe. Terry Rozier at 36, just the minutes won't be there for Rozier. At shooting guard, Deion Waiters is at 55. He was horrendous in the last game. There's no way you can trust his floor whatsoever, but he is a tournament-worthy guy. I just don't feel great about that. While Marcus Smart at 5,200 gets it done without hitting shots. When he hits his shots, there's a 50-point game coming. The problem is that he just hasn't hit his shots really in any game whatsoever. But at 5,200, there is comfortable upside. Like, he went 20% from the field on 15 shots in the last game and still put up 31 points. And that's enough value at 5,200. So in a tournament, if he hits 45% of his shots, you're talking about 36, 37, 40 points. Yeah, relatively comfortably. So I do like Smart as a tournament sort of a guy. The Duke Wayne Ellington, always in that... Kyle Korver sort of arranged the sub 4,000 3-point marksman. He's hit a ton of threes lately. The Duke had 26 points in his last outing at 3,300, a tournament guy only. At small forward, Joshy Richardson at 4,400. Looked okay in the last game, looked pretty good. Yeah, beat his value at 25 points, has got a very good record against Boston. He is a tournament guy only. We just can't be 100% confident in him. And Justice Winslow, I'm less than 0% confident in what he can do. Jaylen Brown getting big, big numbers, but his price is up. It's at 6,700. He is averaging 36 points across the last three. I don't feel good about that because he's finishing those games with a really high field goal percentage and not doing massive amounts in the other category. So if he has a poor shooting night, it's going to drop off. So in a tournament, sure, but his highest score in his last five is only 42. So it's only marginally above value. So to me, that's, they're the signs of not an awesome DFS play. At power forward, Jimmy Johnson is at 5,500. He's been definitely down. He does have a good record against Boston. He does have the track record to get 50 GPPs only for Jim. Hopefully he can make us proud. Jason Tatum at 5,700. I'd feel much better about using him than Jaylen. Those two are always going to be great grouped together because they're both young players and both their names start with J, as in J-A-Y, like Homer J. Simpson. Jason Tatum at 57. I feel good about him getting 26, at least. At least 26. That's a solid floor. 35-point upside pretty comfortably. I like him. Whereas Marcus Morris, he's been putting up decent numbers in limited minutes. A 26-point average across his last three at 4,800. There's some value in that. It's a decent matchup for him. I just feel dirty rostering Marcus Morris. I think there's very little upside in there. But for cash, I can understand. Hey, let's get me 26 points out of this $4,800 guy and go for some other areas. But I'm not sure that he's the best guy out there. If you want to believe in revenge games, Kelly Olynyk's got an opportunity at 3,300. And if Olynyk gets playing time, well, we know that he can go out there and do it. The problem is the playing time hasn't been there for Cal with Jim Johnson, with Justice Winslow playing the four, with Whiteside playing his 30-odd minutes at center. Olynyk's been restricted to playing pretty much backup center minutes. And even in the last game, Bam Adebayo got in, as did Jordan Mickey in that blowout. So he saw just 14 minutes of action. Tournaments only for Olynyk if you're willing to go there. I like Hassan Whiteside at center, 8,800. Putting up strong numbers. His lowest score in his last five has been 33 points. That's a decently solid floor, so I like using him, whereas Al Horford's at 7,000. Really liked what Horford's done this year, but 7,000, probably just a little bit too high in a Whiteside matchup. Bainesy, not as a backup, not going to do much for me. Sorry, Bainesy. Let's have a look on DraftKings. This is DraftKings. Yes, it is. Tournaments, Joshy Richardson's at 45, and then some cash plays. We've got Tatum at 58, Al Horford at 71. I like him a little bit more over on DraftKings. Kyrie's at 82, and Hassan Whiteside at 8,600 for some cash options over there. All right, let's get on to the next game. It's the LA Clippers taking on the Atlanta Hawks. Injury-wise, we've got the Rooster Danilo Gallinari. He is out. We've got Mike Muscala and Luke Babbitt both out for the Atlanta Hawks. So that's opening up some minutes for our boy, the Baptist, John Collins, which we'll talk about in a sec. Definitely some interesting plays. I like a lot of DFS guys in this matchup. At point guard, you've got Dennis Schroeder at 7,300. The Clippers have been surprisingly good against point guards. I suppose Austin Rivers and Pat Beverly are pretty good defenders, and that's been restricting point guard output against the Clippers. Schroeder is okay here, but there are better point guard options around. Malcolm Delaney at 3,200, getting a lot of minutes. He had 30 minutes in the last game. 9 points, but 30 minutes. Not really feeling him all that much. Pat Bev's at 6,700. While it's a decent matchup for Beverly, he only played 22 minutes in the last game, so he could be a little bit limited still with that knee. Probably going to be a fade there for me. At shooting guard, I like Marco Bellinelli as a tournament guy. He's at 3,900 with 30-point upside. That makes him a tournament pool guy, while Lou Williams at 5,400. The salary is dropping because Pat Bev's back. But at 5,400 against Atlanta, hey, we're going to go back multiple years for revenge games. Maybe you want to go back to Lou Williams in Atlanta. 5,400 for Lou. I do like him here in this matchup. Austin Rivers at 48. I couldn't like him less. Kent Bazemore at 6,000. That's too high for Baze. He's not that good. Yes, he can pop off and have a 40-pointer. I would use him in nothing apart from tournaments, and even then, I probably wouldn't go for it. Taurean Prince at 5,700, just constantly crushing that. I've got no real concerns about him getting to that value again, so I think he's a lock for cash. While Wes Johnson, just the triple one expert, 4,600 for Wes, no rooster, averaging 34 across his last three, 26 points in the smashing against the Knicks. No problem with using Wes. I think he is a strong, cheap, small forward. In fact, both of these guys, Prince and Wes Johnson, are both very, very good small forwards for this slate. At power forward, you've got Blakey Griffin at 8,900. His numbers haven't been there. He's got an okay floor, 35 points, but at almost $9,000. I want more from Blake. His highest score has been 53 across the past five, but he's just not quite there. It is a good matchup for Blake, a good one for him to get back on track, but I don't like him for cash. I think there's some tournament value there. If you want to talk power forwards, though, the Baptist John Collins, 5,200. He had 36 in the last game and started the second half for Lukey Babbitt, played 36 minutes in that game. And there is, an expectation that he starts in this one. Muscala's out, Babbitt is out. Should he start at power forward? Absolutely. Will Budenholzer go with Ersan Ilyasova? Maybe, but we saw that him play power forward minutes in the first quarter next to Dwayne Dedman in the last one. And then he started the second half next to Dedmon, played a lot of minutes, put up a lot of numbers. I am totally in on the Baptist here. This should be another 30-point outing at least, and we've got 40-point upside, I reckon, here for the Baptist, John Collins. At center, you've got The Undertaker. He's been really, really consistent, really awesome lately, averaging 28 over the last five and 33 over his last three. DeAndre Jordan matchup is a concern, but I feel okay about Dedmon, especially, again, losing Muscala, losing Babbitt. That means less minutes at center for the Baptists, so hopefully more for Dwayne Dedmon. And at 5,500, he's got that, not a 30-point floor, but at least a 27, 28-point floor, and I feel pretty good about using Dwayne Dedmon at 55. As for DeAndre Jordan, at 7,600, he's got a good record against the Hawks. It is obviously a different Hawks team now than what we've saw last season. 7,600 for him, though. More of a tournament guy, but I don't think it's a horrible play to use him at cash, but there are going to be better options out there than using DeAndre Jordan. All right, let's have a look on DraftKings for this one. Tournaments, The Undertaker at 5,300. More a tournament guy over on DraftKings and FanDuel. And then for cash, you got Wes Johnson at 38, Ballinelli at 4,000, Torian Prince at 5,000, which is really, really good. DeAndre Jordan at 7,000, Dennis Schroeder at 67, definitely in there, while the Baptist at 4,600 could be the best play on the board, assuming he stays out of foul trouble, which is the risk, but at 4,600, I do really, really like Johnny Collins at that price. All right, Lee, the next game we'll look at is the Toronto Raptors and the New York Knicks. Injury-wise, we've got Norm Powell, who's missed the last few with a hip pointer. He is questionable for this game. If he is out, the Jedi OG Anunoby will likely get the start, but his minutes have been a little bit muted recently. It gives extra minutes to guys like CJ Miles, extra minutes to Freddie VanVleet, extra minutes to Pascal Siakam. So all those guys get a boost. Miles becomes a GPP guy. Siakam becomes even more of a reliable option if Norm happens to be out, and the Jedi is a guy you'd use in GPPs. At point guard, Jarrett Jack's been getting the bulk of the minutes because Frankie Ntilikina has been a little bit ill. I wouldn't be looking at using either Jack or Ntilikina in this one. Kyle Lowry I would be, though. He is up to 8,000. He's got a very good record against the Knicks with a 45-point average across the last three games. Jack or Ntilikina. Well, Ntilikina might be able to stop him, but Lowry, I feel okay about him getting to 40 points here, so I do think he is a decent play. At shooting guard, I have to like DeMar DeRozan. 8,500, just constantly cranking out big games. 45-point average across his last five. Not really concerned about the Knicks slowing him down. I do really like DeMar. While Timmy Hardaway at 6,500, I also like him. 2,000 less than DeRozan. Maybe if you're looking to save those 2,000s, you switch from DeMar onto Tim, and I feel like he's going to get 30 points almost every time at this point. Decent consistency recently. A 53-point game in his last five. There was a 14-point one in there, but otherwise, everything's been pretty strong from Tim Hardaway recently. I wouldn't be interested in Norm Powell, even if he does play. Courtney Lee at 5,100 is always a real strong cash play. 25 to 26 every night, and that's exactly what you're looking for in a cash option. While Dougie McDirt at 3,200, he hit lots of threes in the last game. It gave him just 22 points. So that shows you how limited his value is, because it was, look at the box and you go, man, 16 points, 5 threes is all looking great for Doug. He just does nothing else, and that really does limit his fantasy upside. So you could look at him as a tournament guy, but he would need to go and drop 30 points to really blow up and put in that value for your GPPs. That's why I'm not a big fan of him. The Jedi OG Anunoby at 3,400, I'll probably fade that one, while CJ Miles is a GPP only guy, and he's very much in the Doug McDirt situation where he hits threes and that's it. At power forward, Serge Ibaka has been fairly horrendous. He's at 49. GPP, sure, but against Porzingis and Kanter, I'm not really enjoying what Ibaka's going to be able to do. Not that Ibaka's going to be limited by Kanter's defense. It's just that those guys could really get him into some foul trouble, and that could limit Serge. At power forward, of course, we do have Porzingis.
Porzingis.
He is at 9,200. Hasn't quite been at that level. the Raptors defensively have been an issue for power forwards. So I think Porzingis is probably a fade on a 14-game slate. Siakam at 4,300, really putting up the big numbers, averaging 26 across the last three, and that's with Ibaka back in the lineup. 27 points in his last one at 31 minutes, really limiting what Jonas Valanciunas can do. And if Norm Powell is out, I am in on Siakam, even probably for cash, but at this point we'll leave him as a tournament-only guy. At center, Kanter's at 6,200. Has struggled at times against the Raptors in the past, but he's on a really strong run at the moment with a 32-point average over the last five. My confidence level in him is not all that high, so he's probably going to be a fade. Valanciunas at 4,500, absolutely no chance. Well, Noguera and Jakob Poeltl are both at 3,100, but I just don't think that with the rise of Siakam that they're going to get anywhere near enough minutes to even become GPP plays. On DraftKings, some pretty strong cash plays here. Freddie VanVleet at 3,500, Siakam at 38, Courtney Lee at 47, Timmy Hardaway at 65, DeRozan at 84, and Kyle Lowry at 82 have some cash value over there on DraftKings. We're almost halfway through now, so another 8 games left to preview. I didn't tell you, but I should have. This is going to be a long podcast because we do have 14 games to go. So go and grab yourself a drink, and we'll be back to talk about the other 8 games that are left on this slate. And we'll get stuck straight into those now. The Orlando Magic and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Injury-wise, we've got John Isaac, who's missed the last few with an ankle injury. If he plays and it limits what Mo Spates can do, and Spates has been an interesting GPP sort of a target. On a 14-game slate, you can probably do better than Mo Spates, though, so it's not really going to have a big impact. Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
He had almost 40 points in the Timberwolves' last game, 39 of them at 6,700. The Magic have been just hemorrhaging points to a lot of people, especially point guards. So I think that Teague is a pretty good play at 6,700, whereas Lord Alfred Payton at 6,800 has done well against the Wolves in the past. His form recently is not good. If you're going to use him, it should be tournaments only, but I don't feel good about it. At shooting guard, Terry Ross, nah. We go 6,400. Well, which Andrew Wiggins are you going to get? The 40-point one, the 20-point one, I don't know. Nobody knows. Will he provide defensive stats? Will he provide rebounds or assists? Well, it feels like one out of every three or four games he does that. It gives him some tournament upside, especially in a good defensive matchup for him. I would consider him a tournament guy, but that's really about it. Jamal Crawford, no thanks. Small forward, Fournier is at 6,400, just too expensive. It is a good matchup, but too expensive, not interested. John Simmons at 47, also not interested. Well, Jim Butler is up to 8,500 for Jim. Sorry, mate, that is too expensive. Maybe you throw him in a tournament, but I feel nothing good about him for cash at that sort of a price tag. At power forward, you've got Taj Gibson at 5,200. The numbers have been a little bit suppressed for Taj lately, but I don't mind him for cash in this matchup against the Magic. He should be able to have an opportunity to get a double-double. So I think that he is worth looking at. As Gordon at 7,500, a really bad matchup for him, I believe, against Taj. His numbers have been a little bit depressed recently as well, but he's been consistent. In the last five games, his lowest score is 24 and his highest is 32, but at 7,500, that's not cutting it. So to me, he is not someone that I'm going to be looking at too much, nor is Gorgui Dieng, of course. Karl Anthony Towns at 9,500. The usage is down, the shot attempts are down, which of course is usage, averaging 40 points over his last five when you need him to be getting you close to 50 at that salary. Tournaments, sure, the Vucevic defense is not awesome, so that gives Towns that option, but I don't feel confident, whereas Vuce at 7,600, the Towns defense, also not awesome. He has got 40 points written all over him here, Vuce, so I'm much more into using him than I am with Karl Anthony Towns in this matchup. The DraftKings guys on this one. Tournaments, I think Butler and Towns are your GPP options. And for cash, it's Teague and Vooch. The other guys, Wigo, Fournier, Payton, Gordon, Gibson. Not really feeling too much positivity about any of those guys. Forgot to put the little clips up. There you go. For these, you guys watching it, there you go. The little graphics. The San Antonio Spurs is the next game, and they take on the New Orleans Pelicans. DeMarcus Cousins, we haven't heard word yet of any sort of ejection. He did get ejected. We haven't heard word of any suspension. Obviously, if he is out, that boosts Anthony Davis's value significantly. It boosts LaMarcus Aldridge's value significantly, and it gives a guy like Shaq Diallo an opportunity as a GPP guy. Not to say that they're going to play him big minutes, but if he gets 20 minutes or so at that close to minimum salary, Diallo could be a useful player. At point guard, Rajon Rondo is at 5,200. He has been not awesome. He played 31 minutes in the last game, so that's a positive sign. In a tournament, sure, but the Spurs have really limited point guards this season, so I'm not really looking at him too much. Pat Mills at 4,400, coming off some pretty consistently strong games with a 27-point average across his last five. I think that's totally fine to use him. I wouldn't think you're looking at 40 points as an upside situation, but 25 min, 30 max is pretty good at 4,400. Not interested in DeJounte Murray or Jameer Nelson, really. At shooting guard, Etwan Moore's at 4,500. I know he's starting, but I'm not loving that. Well, Drew Holiday at 6,400. I think Drew is definitely worth a GPP look here. He can be a 40-point guy, but I'm not sure of his consistency enough against a Spurs team, which has got some good perimeter defenders, much like Dan Green, who's at 5,000. He's been putting up some strong numbers of his own. Tournaments only for Green, he's a little bit inconsistent. At small forward, Kyle Anderson at cash at 5,200. I love that. It's like Courtney Lee as the shooting guards for small forwards. Anderson's going to get you 25 pretty much every night. He had 36, actually, in the last one. It's a really, really good matchup for opposition small forwards. They have done really well against the Pelicans. I think that Kyle at 5,200 is a really strong cash play. Darius Miller's been hitting some threes, so he's in the Kyle Korver 3-point GPP option. 3,100 is cheap. He had 23 points in that last game for the Pels. So I am interested in him as a tournament play. Rudy Gay, no thank you. At power forward, Tone Davis, 10,800. I think he's a tournament play, but if Boogie's out, I think he locks in as a cash guy who's going to be a 50-point player at least if Cousins happens to be out with. LaMarcus Aldridge, I would fade him against Boog and Tone Davis, but if Boog is out, 8,300 for LaMarcus is definitely worth a look. At centre, Boogie's at 11,500. Hard to use him at this point, considering we don't know if he's going to be suspended at the time of recording. Tournaments only, you'd be looking at him. While Pau Gasol at 57. If Boogie's out, then Pau is worth a squiz, but I don't think it's a strong, superb play or anything along those lines. Let's have a look over on DraftKings now. Tournaments, Etwan Moore and Pat Mills, 3,800 for Moore, 45 for Mills. And for cash, I like Kyle Anderson at 46 quite a lot. And Tone Davis is at 9,600. So even if Cousins plays, 9,600 for Tone Davis feels very, very good, even though it is against the Spurs. And Boog, of course, a tournament option just because we don't know his status. Let's move on to the next game. It is the Denver Nuggets and the Houston Rockets. Injury-wise, Paulie Millsap is one that we do need to check on. He missed the last game with a wrist injury. Baby Neck Wilson Chandler said he will be back while Ryan Anderson's dealing with an illness and he'll be likely to play. Now, if Millsap is out, I think that's going to move Wilson Chandler to the four. Forget Ken Fareed, forget Wancho, forget Trey Lyles. I think you'll get Baby Neck playing at the four and you'll get more Fart and Will Barton. So he'll become a guy that you want to have a look at if Paul happens to be out. Speaking of Paul, point guards Chris, 8,500. He's averaging 36 points in 26 minutes across the three games since he returned. I think he's back to full minutes here, but I wouldn't be locking him into a cash lineup. I think he's got some GPP 40-point upside, but even then, probably going to be better options around. The Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray at 5,600. It just feels a little bit too high. Definitely wouldn't feel great about using him in cash, and Manny Moutier has really fallen off after a strong start to the season. At shooting guard, Eric Gordon's at 5,400. No thanks for Gordo, not with Chris Paul back. Gaz Harris at 5,800. I think that Gaz at 5,800 is almost feeling guaranteed-ish for 30 points. I think that makes him a decent cash play. Where Farton, Will Barton at 58. I'd probably fade Farton if everyone is healthy. If Millsap is out, then he becomes a very strong play. Put up 38 points in that Nuggets game against the Kings, and I think that you'd be almost banking on 30 points from him at least if Millsap happens to be out. Jim Harden, 11,600. Yeah, cool. Look, really good matchup for Jim. 60 points beckons for him. He's been fantastic this season. At small forward, Trev Ariza, 5,400. Don't love his upside. Don't love his floor. Don't love him. PJ Tucker, 4,200. No, the minutes are reduced with Chris Paul back. Baby Neck Wilson Chandler at 53. He's been putting up some okay numbers, and he is ready to play. And if Paul Millsap is out, I'm in on Chandler if Millsap is happening to be out. The power forwards, Millsap at 6,900. I think he's a tournament go if he's ready to go, but I'm not confident that he's actually going to play here. Ryan Anderson at 4,700 is an expensive GPP flyer for what he is, so that's not interesting to me either. While Luke Marmute at 3,700 with Chrissy Paul back, it's harder to rely upon him. At center, Nene's at 3,300. Nah. Nikola Jokic at 9,000. Yes, I think this is a 45-pointer. Real 45-point possibility, 50-55-point upside, especially if Millsap happens to be out. Whereas Clint Capella at 7,500, I feel like Capella's just going to get you 30 at least every night and got a real chance to drop a 35 or 37-point game if they do give him the extra minutes, which let's hope that D'Antoni does. But I do like Capella at 7,500. Let's move on to DraftKings and talk about this game. Tournaments, I like Jokic at 89 and Chrissy Paul at 75, whereas the Blue Arrow at 53 is also a GPP guy, whereas for cash, Gaz Harris at 52, Clint Capella at 68 is really strong, and Jim Harden at 11.3 is, it's always tough to go by Jim at that sort of a price tag, especially. The Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kevin Durant, of course, is the one we want to check on. He's dealing with an ankle sprain. He is questionable at the moment. If he does not play, Omri Caspi started in the last game, but I'm not sure Caspi's going to have as easy a time against Paul George as what he did in the Warriors' last game, so I wouldn't be looking at him as an absolute guarantee play. He is at 3,800, though, Omri, so you might throw him into a tournament. He had 29 in that game replacing Durant, so he could be a GPP guy, but it is a different situation when you've got to be matched up against Paul George. At point guard, Russ is at 10,000. Yeah, absolutely 100% in on Russ. He had 65 points in the last one. He hasn't done well against the Warriors. That's not true. He hasn't done fantastically, but with the way that his form has sort of dipped here recently this season, you don't feel great about it, but in general, you shouldn't feel great. I feel pretty good about $10,000 for Russ Westbrook. I'm in on that. Steph at 9,500 has always done well against the Thunder. If Durant is out especially, that's your high price guy that you smash if Durant is out. Otherwise, I still feel pretty good about using Steph at that price. Face Ray Felton at 3,100. Probably not. Sorry, mate. At shooting guard, Andre Robertson, 38. Nope. Klay Thompson, 7,000. Tournaments for Klay. He's done pretty solidly well recently, but I don't feel super about him in cash. Uncle P, Nick Young, no. Small forward, Paulie George, 8,500. That's pretty expensive. For Georgie, he does have 50-point upside, and that makes him a tournament guy, but I'm not loving that for cash. Whereas Kevin Durant at 10,000, I think that if we hear that Durant is playing, then I really, really like him at $10,000. He has had a really good record against the Thunder. $10,000, I think, is a really good price for Durant. At power forward, Melo's at 67. Love that for cash. I think there's also tournament upside for Melo. I think that's a pretty strong play. Draymond at 7,500. I actually feel okay about Draymond for cash. He's been putting up some consistent numbers. 35 points feels like it's not quite a guarantee, but it's close enough to it. At center, Steve Adams, 6,300. Centers against the Warriors, we know that's a no-go zone. And centers for the Warriors, JaVale and Zaza Pachulia, they are not doing anything to get anybody excited. On DraftKings, Paulie George is a GPP guy at 8,500. Then for cash, we've got Melo at 67, Steph at 94, and Westbrook at 10,400. And of course, if Durant plays at 10,000, he is a strong cash play as well. Let's move on to the next game. It is the Dallas Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies. Injury-wise, Brandon Wright for the Grizzlies is one we need to check on. Wayne Seldon missed the last game too, but I'm not convinced that he's even going to be in the rotation on a regular basis. If Wright is out, Deontay Davis takes his minutes and he can come in and block some shots, and that can be worth a look at, but with 14 games on, probably not going to be too much of an impactful guy. At point guard, Mario Chalmers is up to 5,600, but he dropped 40 in the last game, and I think that 30-point expectation is not a crazy thing to expect out of Mario, so I do like him there. Dennis Smith at 6,500, his numbers have dipped. I think his ownership will be low in a matchup against the Grizz, but he has got 40-point upside pretty clearly, and that makes him somewhat of a tournament option. Yogi Ferrell not really getting much done. At shooting guard, Benny McLemore at 32, nah. Tyreek at 7,500. Well, Tyreek's putting up the numbers, but that's just too expensive for me for Tyreek, so he's probably going to be a fade player. Wes Matthews also in a really strong run of form, but I don't like the matchup for Wes, so I don't think, he's just inconsistent as well, so I'm not feeling great about using him. JJ Barea, similarly. At small forward, Dylan Brooksy, 4,400. The minutes are there, the production, not really, so I think he can do better. Chandler Parsons at 43, not ready to go in on him at that sort of a price, while the pencil Harrison Barnes, 6,700. Feel all right about pencil for cash. He's got a solid floor, not really a massive upside, but I think he is definitely someone that you can look at. At power forward, Jermichael Green coming off his best game of the season, where he put up 25 points. He's at 4,900. It is a very, very good matchup for Jermichael. I'm not in on him in cash, but I think he's got 30-point upside here as a tournament option. Dirk at 4,500, played 32 minutes against the Celtics. I'm pretty confident that won't happen again. Not looking at him as a DFS guy. At center, love Marc Gasol here, 8,300. I think that expecting 50 is not an unrealistic expectation for Mark. Really, really think he is a strong play at center. Nerlens Noel, Salah Mejri, nothing to see with those guys. On DraftKings, Smith Jr. at 5,500. Love that for tournaments. And then for cash, you got Wes Matthews at 43, which is a very good price. You know, much happier with him there. Mario Chalmers at 5,000. The pencil at 56 is almost easy money. And Marc Gasol at 83, very similar to what I said on FanDuel with him. We have got three games to go in this monster slate. It is the Chicago Bulls and the Utah Jazz.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Now, of course, I am recording this before the Bulls and Lakers game, so anything could happen in that one. But let's go. Well, the prices are already set, so let's talk about what I think will happen with the Bulls. Injury-wise, David Nwaba is unlikely to play on Tuesday against the Lakers. He could return on Wednesday. Not sure where we're at with him, but he's not going to be too much of an option, especially with the way that the Hammer Denzel Valentine is playing. At point guard, Ricky Rubio, the Ravishing One, 6,500. Still working his way back from injury, but this is a tasty, tasty matchup. He could really go off. Tournament for Rick at that price is definitely in play. Jaren Grant is not in play. At shooting guard, Rocket Rodney Hood, $6,000. I think you're just going to get 30 out of him every night. That's what it feels like. Even on a shit shooting night, which he shot like 29% in the last game, still put up 29 points. So at 6,000, I like Rocket a lot. Don Mitchell's at 7,000. I'd much rather take Rocket at 6,000 than the extra 1,000 on Don, but I think Mitchell's upside is probably a little bit higher, a 50-point upside there, which makes him more of a tournament-y player. I love Justin Holiday here at 5,300. Almost a lock, I reckon, to get 25 points. So that's a strong cash play. While Chrissy Dunn at 6,200, you know, two really decent games in a row. We know that the Jazz have been able to slow other teams down. So that makes me lean Dunn a little bit more towards tournaments, but not exclusively. At small forward, Jingle and Joe at 5,400. I have no interest in him there. While the Hammer, Denzel Valentine, 5,100. I think that's pretty good for cash. I think it's good for tournaments, assuming that, of course, he doesn't get injured in this Lakers game. Tarbo's at 4,000. I just think he's going to be restricted to under 20 minutes. He's not going to be out there playing power forward matching up against Lauri Markkanen. The guy who will be doing that is Jonas Jerebko at 3,400. Anyone can go off against the Bulls at any time. So Jerebko at 3,400 is a low-owned tournament guy, whereas Markkanen at 6,200, I feel really good about Markkanen. 42 in his last outing, 32 average over the last five. Fine for cash, upside for tournament. Punchbob Shiploke is at 4,200. Unsurprisingly, he has dropped off to become a below average player. Who could have possibly predicted that Punchbob Shiploke is actually not a good player? It's amazing. Sure, if you want to have a look at him in a tournament, no worries, but yeah, that's really about it. Derek Favors at 6,800, a good opportunity for him against the Bulls, but I don't feel strongly about him in cash or really in tournaments. At center, Rob Lopez, 4,800, has done well against the Jazz in the past, and that's with Rudy Gobert there. I don't feel good about using him, though. I just don't think there's very much upside. Epe Udo had 30 points in the last one. He's at 3,300. Hey, in a GPP, sure, why wouldn't you consider Udo? Whereas Chris Felizio, sure, why would you ever consider him? On DraftKings for this one, a lot of value. The Hammer, Denzel Valentine, Chris Dunn, Justin Holiday. Oh, let's go through them, actually. This is for cash. Denzel's at 48, the Hammer. Chrissy Dunn at 54, Justin Holiday at 58. Like them all for cash. Rocket Rodney at 58, Lauri Markkanen at 66, and Don Mitchell at 66. They can all be cash plays as well. Whereas Ravishing Rick at 58, I love the tournament upside for Rick on DraftKings at 5,800. That is a very, very sexy price, much like him and his man bun. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns is our second last game of the day. Tyson Chandler is probable. Jared Dudley is leaning more towards doubtful. If he is out, that gives a little bit of a boost to guys like Joshy Jackson, Marquise Chris, and Dragan Bender, but not enough to really make them awesome options. At point guard, Eric Bledsoe, you want to go revenge game? Now, I know I shit on the revenge game narrative, but Eric Bledsoe hates the Suns. He hates him. He's hated him for a long time. So there is a legit chance that not only does he go off, but the team allows him to go off. And that's a big factor in revenge games. So I am in on Bledsoe here, 6,400. He legitimately hates this organization. So it'll be interesting to see what he could do. It could also get in his head and he could just be absolutely horrible. But I do like using him. And that price is sexy at 6,400. Tyler Ulis is your starting point guard. He's at 4,400. it doesn't mean he's going to play 27 minutes or 28 minutes because they just chop and change that. So not really interested there. While Mike James at 4,800, yeah, not loving that either. At shooting guard, Tone Snell at 36, GPP only. Brogo at 53. No one's going to be on Brogdon, but I don't feel good about him for cash. Maybe for tournaments, but not feeling that. While Chrissy Middleton at 71, yeah, I think we're talking a 35 pointer here for Chris. Devin Booker at 72 is also a very, very strong cash play. At small forward, Yanni is at 12,200. Hasn't really been at that level. So I think that there are better options on a 14-game slate than using Adetokounmpo. TJ Warren at 75, well, he's just going to be, him and Booker are the Suns' entire team. So he is a 40-point option here against the Bucks. At power forward, there's really nothing here that I like. Marquise Chris at 3,900. Tournament, maybe. He could have 30, but he's been just shitful. Dragan Bender at 31, not a good DFS play. At center, Thon McCurr, 3,400. I'll fade that. And then you've got Johnny Henson, who's John Henson is out of this game. So Thon McCurr at 3,400 is very, very strong. Now, he hasn't really put together big numbers, but he is a very, very decent option here at 3,400. Love that. Forgot that John Henson was out, actually. So I really do like Thon. As for the Suns centers, Chandler, Greggy Munro, Alex Len, will someone sit out of the rotation? We don't know. Will they play all three guys? We don't know. If you're going to look at anyone, you'd look at Alex Len as a GPP guy, but I don't feel strongly about any of those guys whatsoever. Let's have a look over on DraftKings. Tournaments, you've got Bledsoe at 6,500. I'd probably even up that to be a cash option. Of course, Thon McCurr is in play over on DraftKings at 3,300. I like Yanni in cash as well at 11,500, much cheaper. And Devin Booker at 77 is good, as is TJ Warren, who's awesome at 6,600. That's a very good price for TJ. Let's go on now to the last game of the night. It is the Lakers taking on the Sacramento Kings. Of course, the Lakers do have to play again today. Budrick Hield and Vince Carter both practice, so we'll assume both of those guys are back. I don't know if Carter's even going to be on the court in the rotation. He could very easily take Malachi Richardson's minutes, and we could see Frank Mason out of the rotation for Hield and Carter to return. So they're interesting guys to consider in terms of their impact on other players, but not so much Carter in terms of his own value. At point guard, De'Aaron Fox is at 4,800. I think he's a GPP guy. I'm not in on him on cash, where Frank Mason might not even play. Georgie Hill at 5,300, crushing it at the moment. I really like him against the Lakers, a good matchup. Lonzo Ball's at 7,700. He had 51 points in his last game in that triple-double. GPPs for Lonzo. At shooting guard, Garrett Temple, 3,900, no. Budrick at 43, no. Bogdanovich, no. Clarkson at 4,800. I feel good about Clarkson. Cash and tournaments, I think he is worth squeezing at. While Kentavious is at 5,600, and that's a GPP option. For the small forwards, Brandon Ingram at 62. Really good matchup for Ingram against the Kings. So I think that he is worth a look in a GPP, but that's it. At power forward, Julius Randle at 53, putting up some really strong numbers. 38 in 32 minutes in the last game. I like him a lot here for cash and for tournaments. Zebo at 49. Not feeling that. The consistency is not there. While Kyle Kuzma at 6,500, the future MVP. I'd rather take Randall at that cheaper price, to be honest. Scalabissier, 4,000. He's starting. He's not getting over 15 minutes, but he is starting. So if he gets hot early, maybe Dave Yeager pulls his head out of his ass and plays him some more minutes, and that could make Labissiere a tournament option. At center, Cauley Stein at 57. I wouldn't feel confident about it. 37 for Costa Kufos, in. He's playing minutes. He's putting up numbers, averaging 28 across the last three. 3,700 in on Kufos. As dumb as that sounds. Brook Lopez at 6,300, good matchup for Brookie, but still reliability is a key, and tournaments is where I'd be looking at him. Over on DraftKings, tournament options, Cauley Stein, Fox, Lopez, and Labissiere, and for cash, Georgie Hill and Julius Randle. Let's now have a look at Yahoo and talk about some of the guys that I like. For tournaments, Jermichael Green, Dylan Brooks, the plumber, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, Fred VanVleet, Jamal Murray, Noah Vonleh. They're all some tournament options going down. Karl Anthony Towns, also a tournament option as well over on Yahoo. For cash, we've got the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, Ballinelli, the Baptist, Mario Chalmers, Pascal Siakam, Kyle Anderson, Spencer Dinwiddie, Taurean Prince. Got a couple more down here. Just got to scroll down. Joel Embiid, Hassan Whiteside are some cash options as well, as is Benny Simmons over on Yahoo. I don't have Moneyball or DraftStars out yet because they haven't released their contests. at the time of recording. Don't forget, check out our sponsor, Draft, and use that promo code LOFANTASY on Draft Wednesdays. Get into the Locked On specific contest and get your free contest with your first deposit as well using that promo code LOFANTASY. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network and, of course, basketballmonster.com and LockedOnFantasyBasketball.com. If you do listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review. Awesome stuff if you can do that. You can also find us on Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and Spotify. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. David West.